Okay, we're glad that you're here tonight. We invite you to take a Bible and to follow along with us. In Proverbs chapter 27 and in verse 5 and 6, Proverbs 27, verse 5 and 6, it says, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Well, the idea is that you should want to be around people that are going to tell you the truth instead of that of the fact of the other. Today I want to talk with you for a few moments on the subject of God's prophet, a prophet named Micaiah. I am going to read here the story of Micaiah. We'll look at it from a paraphrased version. But it says in beginning in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 1, it says, for the next 2 years there was peace between Israel and Syria. That during the third year, King Jehoshaphat of Judah went to visit King Ahab of Israel. Ahab asked his officials, remember when the king of Syria took Ramoth-Gilead from us? That city is ours, so why have we not done nothing to get it back? Ahab asked King Jehoshaphat, will you join with us to go fight the Syrians at Ramoth-Gilead? Jehoshaphat answered, yes, you and I will be as one. My men and my horses will be yours. But first let's ask the Lord for advice. So Ahab called a meeting of the prophets. At this time, he has 400 prophets. He had 450 at the mountain when he challenged Elijah. But now he has 400 here at this time. And he asked his prophets, should I go and attack the Syrians at Ramoth-Gilead or not? The prophets answered Ahab, yes, because the Lord will let you defeat Ramoth-Gilead. Now, these prophets are hirelings. They're going to do whatever Ahab tells them to do. They're not going to tell him the truth concerning anything. They're receiving a paycheck every week from Ahab, so therefore they're going to tell whatever he wants to be told. But Jehoshaphat said, doesn't the Lord have another prophet here? He's concerned. He's concerned about this, how quickly they're all in agreement concerning Ahab. Let's ask him the same question. Ask him the same question. Should we go up and should we attack? Should myself and Ahab go up and attack the Syrians? This is the question that they were going to ask. King Ahab answered, yes, there is another prophet. His name is Micaiah, a very important prophet. It says, but I hate him. I hate him because he will not say anything good about me when he speaks for the Lord. Because this was an evil king, there wasn't anything good to say about him. He always says things that I don't like. Jehoshaphat said the king should not say that. So Ahab told one of his officers to go and find Micaiah. At that time, the two kings were sitting on their thrones with their royal robes on at the judgment place near the gates of Samaria. All the prophets were standing before them prophesying. One of the prophets named Zedekiah made some iron horns and said to Ahab, the Lord says, you will use these iron horns to fight against the army of the Syrians. And you'll defeat them and destroy them. And all the other prophets agreed with Zedekiah and said, your army should march now to go fight against the Syrians at Ramoth-Gilead. And you'll win the battle, and the Lord will let you defeat them. And of course, Micaiah, the true prophet, hadn't gotten there yet. But finally he gets there, though. Finally he gets there. In verse 13 of 1 Kings chapter 22, it says, "And while this was happening, the officer went to find Micaiah. And when he found him, the officer told him, 'All the other prophets have said that the king will succeed. So you should say the same thing.'" You get in line. You get in line with the other 400 prophets now, and you say the same thing to King Ahab. Don't you upset King Ahab. And Micaiah answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, I can only say what the Lord says." Micaiah went and stood before King Ahab. The king asked him, "Micaiah, should we go and attack the Syrians or not?" Micaiah answered, "Go. Go and be successful. The Lord will let you take the city." Ahab, he knew something was wrong. He says in verse 16, it says, "And Ahab answered, 'How many times do I have to tell you? Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. What does the Lord say? Now in verse 17, it says, Micaiah answered, "I can see the army of Israel scattered all over the hills like sheep with no one to lead them." Uh-oh. That don't sound good for Ahab. "This is what the Lord says. These men have no leaders. Let them go home in peace." Ahab said to King Jehoshaphat, "See, I told you. The prophet never says anything good to me. He always says something bad." Micaiah said, verse 19, "Listen to the message from the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. All of heaven's army was standing around him, some on the left, some on the right side. The Lord said, 'Which of you will go fool Ahab into attacking the Syrians at Ramoth Gilead so that he'll be killed?' And the angels discussed the many different plans. Then the spirit went and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will fool him.' And the Lord said, 'What will you do? How will you do it?' And the spirit answered, 'I will go to Ahab's prophets and cause them to tell lies.' And the Lord says, 'Yes, that will fool Ahab. Go and do that.' And here's what has happened. The Lord has made your prophets lie to you. The Lord himself decided to bring this disaster to you." And then the prophet Zedekiah went to Micaiah and hit him on the face. Zedekiah said, "How is it that the Spirit of the Lord left me to speak through you?" And Micaiah answered, "Look, what I said will happen. You will see it one day when you are in a secret room somewhere hiding. King Ahab ordered one of his officers to arrest Micaiah. And Ahab said, 'Arrest him. Take him to Amnon, the governor, and the prince Joash. Put Micaiah in prison. Give him nothing to eat but bread and water. Keep him there until I come home from the battle.' And Micaiah said, 'You listen to me. Everyone listen to me. Ahab, if you come back alive from the battle, the Lord has not spoken through me.'" Then they go to the battle at Ramoth Gilead, he and King Jehoshaphat. It says in verse 30, Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, Disguise yourself when you go into the battle, but wear your own clothes, and I will disguise myself." And the king of Israel went into battle dressed like an ordinary soldier, hoping that no one would recognize him. The king of Syria had 32 chariot commanders. He gave them this command: "Don't go after anyone. Don't go after anyone except the king of Israel. Don't go after anyone except Ahab. That's the one that I want, so we can kill him." Jehoshaphat started shouting. When the commanders saw that he was not King Ahab, they stopped chasing him. Then a soldier in the distance pulled back as far as he could pull back on his bow. shot an arrow in the air. And it says the arrow happened to hit the king of Israel in a small hole where his armor was fastened together. King Ahab said to the chariot driver, "I've been hit. Turn the chariot around. Take me off the battlefield." And the armies continued to fight while King Ahab was propped up in his chariot. He was leaning against the sides of his chariot, looking out over the Syrians. His blood ran onto the floor of the chariot. Later that evening, he died. So Micaiah, he was right. Right about what was going to happen. A lengthy reading, so a very short sermon. Tonight we want to talk about some unchanging truths in an ever-changing world. In fact, five. Unchanging truth in an ever-changing world. Truth number one, it is better to be divided by truth than to be united by error. It's better to be divided by truth than to be united by error. Have you seen the bumper sticker over the last 20, 25 years? The bumper sticker on the back, the word written out, says to coexist. Coexist. To get in line. The idea is that you don't mess up the status quo. Status quo from the Latin meaning normal life. You don't mess up the normal life. Because what they're saying in that is that all religious views are going to get you to heaven. It doesn't make any difference what you believe. Because all these different views, we all need to come together and understand that all these different views are going to take us to heaven. Is it better to be divided by truth than to be united by error? We see over in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verses 1 through 6. We studied last week in our Bible class, Ephesians 4, verse 1 through verse 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. He says, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But what is the unity of the Spirit? Well, he states there, it's one body, one Spirit, just as you're called to one hope as you're calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in you all. Another unchanging truth in an ever-changing world. It is better to speak the truth, which may hurt at first, but heals later, than to tell a lie, which may comfort at first, and destroy later. And again, we go back to 1 Kings chapter 22 and the story of Micaiah. In verse 14 beginning, 1 Kings 22, verse 14 beginning. It says, Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that shall I speak. Oh, he could have comforted. He could have comforted Ahab, sort of making fun of him at first. But then tells him the truth concerning what God wants him to know, that you are going to die. You're going to die if you go into this battle. He says, verse 15, chapter 22. And when he came to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go at Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain? He answered him, go up, succeed, and the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. And the king said to him, how many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? It says verse 17, so I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep, having no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each of them return to his own house. Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? The other 400, they were lying to him. But he didn't want to have one that was going to tell him the truth. But we should understand it's better to speak the truth, which may hurt at first, but heals later, than to tell a lie, which may comfort at first, but destroy later. A third point here. An ever-changing truth an unchanging truth in an ever-changing world. It is better to be hated for telling the truth than to be loved for telling a lie. In Galatians and in chapter 4 and in verse 16, Galatians 4 and in verse 16, Galatians 4, verse 16, so have I become your enemy? So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? In Luke chapter 6 and in verse 26, Luke 6, verse 26, Luke 6 and in verse 26, he says, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to speak or used to treat the false prophets in the same way. Also in 1 Kings chapter 18 and in verse 17, 1 Kings 18, verse 17, it says, then Ahab said to Elijah, Ahab said to him, is this you, you troubler of Israel? But he wasn't the troubler of Israel. He was standing for the truth. He was with God. He was on God's side. Elijah was on God's side. But Ahab, he was truly the one that was the troubler in Israel. When I think about statements like this, it is better to be hated for telling the truth than to be loved for telling a lie. I think about the split of the Lord's church back in the late 50s, early 60s. To where so many people were loved for telling a lie. All those people that went with the Institutional Brethren and just left just a sliver of people with those that stood for the truth on the conservative side. There might have been 5,000-6,000 in some congregations in Nashville that were filled with liberal brethren. In many of those congregations, there might have been just a sliver of people that stood for the truth. Maybe 200 or 300 in some congregations. So you saw the difference. But again, it's better to be hated. Better to be hated for telling the truth than to be loved for telling a lie. Another unchanging truth in an ever-changing world is it's better to stand alone with the truth than to be wrong with the multitude. Better to stand alone with the truth than to be wrong with the multitude. We saw over in 1 Kings chapter 18, on one side 450 prophets, on the other side, Elijah standing with God. He said, verse 21, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. Sort of the idea that Joshua had, choose you this day whom ye will serve. And that was a decision that those people had to make. In chapter 22 that we just studied about, again, 400 prophets on one side that are telling a lie, and one prophet on the other side, Micaiah, who's telling the truth. You've seen it before. Joshua and Caleb. You have all these people on this one side that don't want to go toward the promised land. There's giants in the land. We can't overthrow. We can't overtake the land. We need to turn around. We need to go back to Egypt. In fact, in Egypt, we were having great meals back there in Egypt anyway. They were treating us wonderful back in Egypt. And over here on this side, you had two men, Joshua and Caleb, that said, no, we can go forward and we can take the land. Or my grandma used to talk about, she had never seen evil like she had seen during her time. I said, you don't know what you're talking about. Because when you go back to the time of Noah, those people were doing evil continually. Over here on one side, you had all the people that were doing evil continually. And over here on this side, you had one family. Noah, his wife, three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. And that was it. Better to stand alone with the truth than to be wrong with the multitude. And the fifth thing here. It's better to ultimately succeed with the truth than to temporarily succeed with a lie. They had put Micaiah in prison. They thought that was it. They had won. Ahab, he played along with Jehoshaphat. His prophets had told him, go, you're going to win this battle. He had disguised himself. He was just one, probably hanging out in the back. And all of a sudden, here's some kid with an arrow, evidently. He just shoots it up in the air. And all of a sudden, it floats all across all the armies of Israel and lands right in an area where Ahab's armor is fastened and kills him. At the cross. When it looked like the darkest of times, and it looked like that Satan had won, until that third day on Sunday morning, when they went to the tomb, and no one was there. It is better to ultimately succeed with the truth than to temporarily succeed with a lie. We would encourage you tonight that if you need to respond to the truth in any way by being baptized into Christ or coming back to your first love, invite you to come now while together we stand, we sing.